Okay, what do you say, guys? Let's get busy.
You've heard the expression, let's get busy.
Let's get busy.
Let's get busy.
Let's get busy.
Busy with what?
Busy, busy, busy.
Now get busy.
Oh, I'll get busy.
Well, I gotta get going. I'm busy with my radio show.
You're listening to Dimitri, live and dangerously local on the River Talk Radio Network, a River Network production.
Yes, thanks so much for joining us, Dimitri, live and dangerously local. The River Talk Radio Network, 94.9 FM, 100.1 FM, 100.9 FM, the Mighty 1290, the Sturdy 1430. It is the Audio Path of Totality. Very special show for you today. Really, when you stop and think about it, every show is special because I'm sorry, did I say something? My guest is in studio, guest is already mocking me. I haven't even finished this, and the music has stopped. Anyway, it's a very special show today, even more special than it normally is, and normally it's special. So we've got in studio guest here, Laura Wakeham Chapman. The Wakeham thing, you might remember, Wakeham, right there. Chris Wakeham, yes, absolutely. That's her dad, very good guy. I really like Chris Wakeham. So Laura is a state senator, West Virginia, and she is here to talk about all the stuff that she did in Charleston for the legislature to help the taxpayers and all of that. And then later on, we're going to be joined by Stacy Gilson, who is part of Ignite Hope. I love Stacy. She is just the best. God, is she the best. Tom's got to be the luckiest guy in the world. He really is. So about human trafficking, and Stacy has been, she's an event planner. She does all sorts of different things. And boy, does she present well too. I mean, anytime you see her, she's just perfect. And so we're going to have Stacy here talking about that and Ignite Hope with Laura Chapman. Now, full disclosure, I'm always about the full disclosure. Dimitri 2020 LLC is my company. I do radio shows, I do production, I do all sorts of different things, including helping clients. And full disclosure, transparency, this is another one of my clients, Laura Wakeham Chapman. And she is my client, and she is an advertiser here on this radio station. It's still going to be great radio, but you need to know this so that in case you got a problem with that, it's like, well, I don't want to listen to this. Perfectly fine. But full disclosure with everything. And I don't take just any clients. It just takes a few really special ones. That's why I have her. And you'll understand why as we talk and goof around and all that. But first, you were almost late. My sources tell me there was an ugly incident at Sheetz. You want to tell us about that, Laura?
Yes, it was that self-checkout. And it's just too confusing for me. It's too high-tech. And so I needed to get extra help on that. So apologies.
What exactly is so confusing about buying a soft drink at Sheetz and going for the self-checkout? Where did you start to stumble?
When I accidentally scanned the drink twice.
Well, yeah, that would do it.
Yes, okay. Yes.
Did they have like a light flashing like they do at the grocery stores for help and somebody ran over to help you or anything like that? Or
no, I just flagged down the lady behind the counter. She was very nice and she fixed it for me, but I'm sure she does it for a lot of people.
Oh, I don't know about that, Laura. But anyway, which Sheetz was this, by the way?
The one on National Road.
On National Road. One of the finest Sheetz, by the way. In fact, let's give him a big shout out. Thank you for helping, Laura. Thank you. All right, enough of this nonsense. So you are running for for the Republican nomination in the primary.
Correct.
West Virginia, and the election in the primary election is May
12th. With early voting April 29th.
Okay, great. So tell me about Laura Wakeham Chapman. Who the heck are you?
Well, I'm a constitutional lawyer, a mother of two young children. I've been married to my husband for 14 years, and we live in Wheeling. Born and raised, my dad was in the military, and so we did move around a little bit when he was a captain in the Army.
That's our military, not the Lebanese.
Correct.
Okay, good.
Yes,
Just checking.
Okay. Yeah, U.S. military.
Just busting his balls, even when he's not here.
Yeah, my whole family's from Wheeling, and so I decided to run 4 years ago because I wanted to make the Northern Panhandle an even better place to live and raise a family, and I've been working on that goal ever since.
That's great. How old are your kids?
I have a daughter who's 8 and a son who's 10, and they're getting big way too quickly.
Well, that's actually a very good thing.
Yes.
I hate to break the news to you, but this is actually what you do want. You
know? I agree.
All right. And they go to St. Mike's, or where do they go?
They do.
All right. Do you like St. Mike's?
I do. Yep, I'm Catholic. I have been my whole life. And so I had a Catholic education. I graduated from Mount Deshaunal. Unfortunately, it's no longer there, of course.
It's a shame.
It is a shame. Yeah. But I wanted that same thing for my children. Yeah.
Yeah. And where'd you go to college?
Middlebury College in Vermont.
Middlebury?
Yes.
Wait a minute. Time out. I think there's a story here. So you're from the valley here. You're from Wheeling. Mm-hmm. Middlebury, Vermont.
I know. So I had a great counselor in high school, and she said that it would be a great fit for me. It was on the smaller side. There were only about 550 graduating in my class, and it's a liberal arts education, so they had all sorts of offerings. And so she suggested I apply. I got in. I went and visited the campus. It's a lot like West Virginia with the mountains and the beauty. And
sure.
I fell in love with it, and I went to college there, graduated.
That's great. And your law degree, where'd you get that?
West Virginia University. So,
okay.
Yep. Came back home and got my degree at the best college. So, yeah.
Great. What did you do before you ran for office? Or what do you do? Do you have another job?
I do. Yep. I'm a constitutional lawyer.
Okay.
I've been practicing for, I believe, 16 years. I graduated in 2010. I've been practicing ever since.
Well, I hear this from time to time, even Barack Obama.
Yeah.
They call themselves constitutional lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
It means that you're fighting for constitutional rights in court. So I've defended people's First and Second Amendments in court. And of course, anytime that, you know, there's any other issues, it can touch the other parts of the Constitution. So Fifth, Sixth, Seventh Amendments.
Oh. What was the most interesting case you've had?
Oh, goodness. You're putting me on the spot there. I've had
being interviewed on my show here. You knew this was coming. It's not a trick question.
We've had a lot of really great cases. I think, you know, just I'm kind of a dork. I like the appellate work part of it and just like working up the cases. But probably I would say when somebody's firearm was illegally taken from them, working on that, because it's a very nuanced part of the law and you had to really get deep into the research.
Yeah. How did that work out?
It worked out. We didn't get a good ruling in the beginning, but we ended up with a good ruling in the end. So
you won.
Yes. That's what matters.
Absolutely. So the guy got his firearms back.
Correct.
That's great. Mm-hmm. And he stayed out of trouble, thank God, I hope.
Oh, yeah. He wasn't in any trouble to begin with. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. So would it be fair to say, because I know lawyers take all sorts of cases, they may believe in the thing and also may not believe in it, but they want to defend, you know, the person and give them good representation. Would it be fair to say that you are a strong supporter of the Second Amendment?
Oh, absolutely. So part of my upbringing of being a daughter of a veteran and granddaughter of veterans, I was always taught that the Second Amendment and the Constitution is very, very important. And so I grew up respecting that and wanting to defend it in my adult life. And that's what I do.
That is great.
Yep.
So one last thing about your personal life. I know very little about you. I mean, I know more about Chris than anything, because I can't get him to shut up about himself. Well, let me tell you about me. It's like, oh, Chris, Jesus. Anyway, your husband, what does he do?
He's also a lawyer.
Really?
He does civil defense work. And
did you ever go to a court case and you're against him?
Actually, not against him, but yes, we had competing interests in one at one time, and it was an interesting dinner table conversation. This was before children, but he was then appointed to a criminal case in magistrate court, and I represented the victim.
Oh, wow.
And so we were like, I have court tomorrow at 10 a.m. So it was definitely an interesting.
Oh, man. Well, I got to ask, who won?
Actually, I think that I won. Because I got out of the case, but I think my client won in the end. And yeah, it was just a contentious thing in the beginning, but
A lot of arguments, a lot of fighting at home.
Yeah, about who's going to actually get out of the case, because of course there's conflicts there.
Yeah.
So somebody had to get out.
Okay, all right, fair enough. So I was hoping for more dirt, but if that's the best you can come up with.
Yeah, that's the best, I'm sorry.
All right, fine. So you spent now 4 years in Charleston?
Yep.
What's Charleston like?
Honestly, I'm not a huge fan of Charleston as far as the city goes. I have a lovely apartment that I stay in, though. The people there are lovely, but it doesn't feel exactly the safest there. And, of course, it's not the Northern Panhandle.
Sure.
But actually legislating. It's a difficult job. Over the 60 days, it's exhausting because there's a lot of, you know, trying to get your bills done, and it's a lot of stress. But I actually enjoy it because that's where you get, you know, the most that you can for your constituents.
What was the most surprising thing that you discovered when you first became a state senator and you went down to Charleston in the legislature? What was the thing that was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this?
Well, I knew that it would be difficult to pass the bill, and it should be. We don't need all these laws on the books. We already have about 34 volumes of laws, which of course nobody can ever know every law that's on the books. However, the most shocking was that one person can stop a bill if they're a chair or the president or the House Speaker. So somebody in leadership can stop a bill without, even if everybody else wants it.
How do they get away with that?
It's just the way it works. Chairman discretion for what to run and what not to run through their committees. And then also, of course, the president and the speaker have, you know, final say on what runs.
Did you run into that problem as you were trying to get bills passed?
Oh, absolutely. A lot.
Which is the biggest one?
Religious exemptions to vaccines.
Tell the listeners about that. Give us the overview of this.
Sure. So 45 other states have a religious exemption to childhood vaccines.
Which means that if I don't want my kid to get vaccinated with that COVID thing or whatever, I can say, look, I believe in the Bible. I believe in my religious beliefs say that you can't do that to my kid.
Correct.
45 states have that, allow or the citizens to do that, right?
Correct.
But West Virginia is not one of them.
It's not. And, you know, our whole state motto is Mountaineers are always free, except for in this case. But, yeah, I've been trying to get that for 4 years because I do believe in parental rights and I do believe in religious liberty. I mean, it's the First Amendment for a reason. But, yeah, I mean, the former health chair was able to stop it. And
who was that?
Mike Maroney.
Ugh.
Yes. And then,
ugh.
And then the House hasn't wanted to pass it. So they, when I was held chair, not this past session, but before, I fought for it because it was a priority of the governor's as well and mine. And we got it over to the House. They voted up a religious exemption and that on second reading. And then by Monday when they had to vote on it, nine people changed their votes and it died.
What happened?
Your guess is as good as mine.
No. You're there.
Yes.
You know these weasels. So
right.
Come on. What really happened? Were they bribed? Were they all bribed?
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but yes, pressure from lobbyists. And, you know, the healthcare industry, it's one of the most powerful lobbying groups in Charleston. And
really?
So, yes, they have a lot of money and people are afraid of them. And so they get a lot of what they want. Certificate of need is another one where that's a permission slip from the government where if you want to open up a hospital, your competitors, meaning other hospitals and the government, has to say, oh yes, there's a need for that new hospital, you can go ahead and open it.
Wait a minute. The competitors have to say, oh yes, we want more competition.
Yes.
Seriously?
Seriously.
How do they get away with that?
Good question. Again, the medical lobby. So,
I think we've got too many tacos. I think we need to do something because if we got an overabundance of tacos. We need to do something about that.
Right. So, those are two of the biggest issues that people have been fighting for years and just can't get it across the finish line.
My goodness. Is it going to be any better this coming legislative session?
I think so because there's a lot of really good freedom-minded legislators in the legislature right now and also ones who are running to be elected. For example, Toby Heaney down in SD2, he's running for the open seat. I think he would be great. Joe Early's running in, I think, SD12, and he's a big freedom lover too. So
great.
We're hoping to get new people in as well.
And I hope we can keep the good current ones as well.
Correct.
Because, I mean, the rhinos, the Republican establishment, just the worst. More with a very special guest, Laura Wakeham Chapman, Chris's kid, state senator.
That's okay.